Hi, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, welcoming you back to another one of our episodes of our Breaking Bread podcast. My guest today on Breaking Bread is Helen Liriano. Helen is the Vice President for Finance and Administration at Long Island Cares, and we're going to talk a little bit about, oh, maybe a lot about, money. So, Helen, welcome. Thanks for coming on to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
And the audience is excited to have you here as well. So, Helen, money. What is, for the people who are listening to us, and there are many, actually, what is the role of a vice president of finance and administration within a nonprofit organization?
So within a nonprofit, I find someone in my role, we're really support staff for the organization. We're here to support the mission and support the mission to the best of our ability. So I, you know, we keep track, of course, of easy things like revenue and expense. But we also want to make sure that we're spending that money properly. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by spending that money properly is, are you doing your due diligence, you know, in getting those quotes, getting those estimates, simple things like using tax-exempt forms, just going to certain merchants that you're going to utilize often and just asking for that nonprofit rate, you know?
So in a lot of ways, you're there advocating for the nonprofit.
Yes.
To make sure that, you know, we're being treated as any other nonprofit organization would be treated regarding tax exemption, regarding any discounts, regarding any due diligence that we have to do. But you and your staff really do juggle a lot of responsibilities because as most nonprofits operate in terms of income, there are multiple funding sources.
Yes.
And what do you tell your staff or what would you tell any other finance person from a nonprofit when they're juggling different forms of income? How to go about that? What's your sort of rule of thumb when you're dealing with all of these different funding sources?
Be organized. So organization is key. Also having a strong staff. And I'm lucky when I came into Long Island Cares, there's a really strong finance team here at Long Island Cares. Job responsibilities. Know who's doing what and who's paying attention to what. A lot of times when your program team or your if you have a grant writer, if you're lucky enough to be a nonprofit that has a grant writer, they kind of circle finance in at the last minute, and you really have to remind them that you need to be in from the beginning. You need to know, you know, what the plan is for the spending so that you can help monitor that spending, making sure that spending is spent right. Claiming, as far as claiming is going, are we claiming monthly, quarterly, annually, just so you can stay on top of the spending? You don't want to leave money at the on the table. That's the worst thing you can do once you've been granted funds by the county, by the state, by a foundation, is to leave money on the table.
You never want to give back funding because the funder will say, I guess they didn't need our support as much as they said they needed it in the application. Or they would question the administration of the program itself. Because if we gave you a $100,000 grant and you only spend $72,000 of it, first question is, how come you asked for so much? And number two, why couldn't you spend this money if you knew you were going to need it? You said something very important that I'd like to stick with for a second, and that is when you're working with grant writers and fundraisers— the finance staff really should be part of the discussion and planning at the beginning of the process and not after the organization, let's say, receives that $100,000 grant and then nobody in finance is aware of it. And usually the grant writers or the program people, for that matter, when they work the budget out to ask for the funding, they don't address every little nuance that you and your team is aware of.
Right, exactly. I don't feel like any, not even your seasoned grant writer, no one should be doing or submitting a budget without having finance take a look at it. We also are good at you know, we've read through the application for that budget piece.
Right.
On nonprofits, we get nervous to submit for salaries and personnel on budget, on grant budgets. But we really have to recognize our biggest budget line expense as a nonprofit is your staff. And right. not all your staff will be excluded from being allowed to be on a grant budget because your frontline staff are part of the mission. They're part of the program you're submitting for. So they're not admin expense when it comes to that budget. They are a program expense when it comes to that budget, and put some of that salary in there.
And so it's important to make sure that you're providing funds to pay those salaries.
Exactly.
For the people involved in a specific program that you receive funding for.
Yeah, I know AI is going far, but AI can't serve food in our pantries.
Not yet, right?
Not yet. No, we still need those that hand, you know, hands-on feeling, that hands in-person touch.
So you said earlier, and I want to discuss this a little bit as well, that you have a good team. So if you were starting a new nonprofit organization and you were going to develop your staffing patterns, what staff do you really need to operate a good finance department?
You definitely, I mean, you can call them any type of titles you want, your bookkeeper. You need somebody who's going to be laser focused on accounts payable.
Right.
Accounts payable isn't just about writing the check to pay the vendor. You know, somebody really looks through these expenses and they'll make recommendations when they're a good AP person. They'll go back to whoever submitted that invoice and say, you know what, there's tax on this. You know what, these pay terms don't sound right. You know what, so you need those extra set of eyes to review an invoice. Your accounts receivable person, you want to get that money into the bank as soon as you receive it. Don't leave checks on the desk, you know. And direct deposit is your friend. So as many, you know, funders as you can get to really get those funds right into your bank account, get it in. Cash flow. You always want that cash flow going.
Right.
Yep.
So accounts payable,
accounts receivable. Don't the basics. You know, you need strong people in those basic functions. It'll save you a world of time.
You know, and you bring up a very good point that most program people who write grants or direct programs have a general understanding of the budget, how much money they could expect to spend. And most of them do look at their budgets in terms of how much I have to spend before they look at how much is coming in, because there's always a belief that, oh, the CEO probably has a fund under his desk that he or she can pull money from. So if I spend an extra $2,000-$3,000, it's not going to make a difference. But if you were advising other CPAs or CFOs or vice presidents in finance, what would you say? And I know I'm putting you on the spot. What would you say be careful of? What from your viewpoint is a pitfall that often finance people may make or fall into a trap?
You fall into a trap, and I've been, you know, I've been guilty of this too, where you're just sitting in your office and you're processing the numbers and you're not reading the numbers. Your role, especially if you're the head of the finance department, the numbers are telling a story, and your role is to explain the story to everyone. Program people are going to try and save the world, you know, and we want them there to save the world. Sure. Your fundraisers, you know, they want to, you know, have events and they want to raise money and they want to go out there. But it all has to make sense together. And the finance department role is to help them all see the numbers and see if it's making sense. And you really have to be comfortable with the team to have those conversations with everybody.
I would imagine that sometimes either the fundraisers or the program people might push back a little bit if you or a member of your team meets with them to say, look, I think you've left things out of your budget that should be there, and you're going to sell the program short at the end of the year. You're going to wind up with a deficit. And nobody wants to be told, you know, you created a budget that has a deficit. Oftentimes, nonprofit organizations do prepare a budget, an annual budget. that shows a deficit, but on the other hand, they're pretty confident that the deficit will turn into a surplus
right.
somewhere during the next 12 months.
Yeah, I always say your budget, you are doing estimates, but it's educated
mm-hmm.
guesstimates.
Right.
'Cause you're going to have these conversations with the different departments.
Mm-hmm.
And if the budget comes out to be, you know, a deficit and something that you're comfortable with the reserves that you have in hand, and your CEO and your board are comfortable reporting mm-hmm. that you think this year is going to be a deficit, then report it. Don't make things up to make it up.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of organizations, even for-profits, that want to present a budget to their shareholders or to their board of directors which show a surplus or show the organization breaking even. But there's nothing to be ashamed about if you're doing honest accounting
right.
to project a deficit. And right. like I said, especially if you're going to make it up at some point during
exactly.
the course of the year. Let's change gears for a second.
Sure.
You know, if I go back in my career, let's say 45 years ago, when I first started to work in the nonprofits, I recall our controllers at the time. They were not CFOs. It wasn't in vogue yet. But the controller... was managing a budget, could be $1 million, $2 million, $10 million, with a ledger book,
okay.
you know, pencil and paper. And they were even handwriting out checks at the time. Technology has changed so dramatically in the last four decades. What do you see right now, and perhaps for the future, what the challenges will be in relation to technology and your finance departments?
Sure. So at Long Island Cares, we have an amazing program that we're utilizing right now. I think the challenge becomes that not only do you have to have a mind for finance, but mm-hmm. you do have to be comfortable with this technology and the functions that the technology can do with little things that you were used to doing through good old Excel,
mm-hmm.
Your forecasting and your budgeting. The problem or the challenge becomes making sure that the data that's in the system is correct, because these programs are only good as the data that's going into them,
mm-hmm.
right? Making sure the assumptions are right in the program. Making sure on implementation, you know, the rules were set up properly
mm-hmm.
to run these numbers for you. So you do have to do your own checks and balances when a balance sheet is run from your, you know, fancy computer program
right.
or your income statement is run from this fancy computer program. I would still do a check and, you know, check in something that has a huge variance. Like, let me just pull out those invoices and see, you know, did we really, you know, pay those things
mm-hmm.
or... Just do yourself a favor and do a double, you know, some checks and balances in mm-hmm. some of those areas, especially when you're seeing huge variances.
Yeah, you've made the case pretty clear that when it comes to finances within a nonprofit organization, you really, number one, have to take your time and be as involved as you possibly can be. Be thorough in your review of
right.
your, you know, income and outcome number and spending numbers. And a lot of people don't really look at that. I know as CEOs, we often, you know, just say, hey, we just raised $1 million to do a program. We're going to hire two more staff people, buy all these vehicles, and so on and so forth. And yet, even the CEO can hear from the finance staff that you might have underestimated this or overestimated something. And then we get into a situation where we have to do budget modifications,
right?
Which are okay because, you know, most government funding sources expect that to happen because not everything is going to be accomplished the way you set out in your proposal. So those things are important. So from your standpoint, and we have less than a minute left, what's the biggest challenge you find in terms of managing finances of a nonprofit?
Communication. I think it all boils down to simple communication, simple
mm-hmm.
and complicated, right? It's a funny word, communication. But you really need to have these conversations with the, you know, the other departments. You can't just be in the office processing the numbers. Again, mm-hmm. the numbers tell a story, and I have to be able to talk to everybody to see why was spending here, why was spending there, why mm-hmm. didn't we get in the money we thought we were going to get in. And that also helps me build the next year's budget.
That really is an excellent point. You have to communicate with your mm-hmm. money people. It's just not, you know, I'm the CEO, so I'm signing off on this. You really have to tap your experts. You know, you've hired vice presidents for finance. You've hired, you know, IT professionals. You've hired professional fundraisers. They're there for a reason.
Exactly.
And everyone really does, regardless of what their role is in the organization, need to talk to each other so that yes. everybody's on the same page. That was extremely, extremely helpful. I mean, you've given me so much information. Helen, I am sorry. That has nothing to do with you personally. That just means that we have run out of time.
Okay.
I want to thank Helen Liriano, our Vice President for Finance and Administration, for joining us today on this episode of Breaking Bread. I know for a fact that those of you that are listening have learned a couple of things about your finance departments and how to work more closely with them and more inclusive with them. If you're enjoying what you're listening to, please consider subscribing to the Breaking Bread podcast. You can get us on Amazon. You can get us on Spotify, Anchor Podcast, and whenever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares. Pleasure to break bread with you. Go out there and take care of each other. We'll see you again.